All right. Wow. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Father, thank you so much for your presence here today. Lord, you're the healer. And Lord, I'm just a piece of clay here cooperating. I'm just a piece of clay here. Lord, I thank you for everyone keeping their healings, Lord. And people struggling with it, Lord, they don't understand. That's okay, Lord. I know you love everybody, Lord. Help us to line up, Lord. Help me to preach today, Father, just to represent you well and help us to hear. I've been preaching on the hearing ear for 3 weeks. Help us to hear, Lord. We need it. I need it, Lord. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I heard a message. Gotta ease into this. I heard a message years ago called the Someday Syndrome. You guys remember that? The Someday, and I was thinking about that. Charlie preached last week, and thank you, Charlie, for preaching last week. Talked about miracles and the authority of the believer, and made me think about in my own life, and God's given me miracles, and they're not always instant, and sometimes they do come in time. But I thought of this, one of the big mistakes, and I brought my eraser today. You want me to hold up for you guys or just keep going? Okay, I'll keep going. Okay, love you guys. I brought my eraser today. Sometimes we feel like some things are too big for God or our mistakes are too big. And we need, so God has provided, like, you know, this eraser is for big mistakes, right? You ever feel that way? Like you need a jumbo eraser? See that? Like, Lord, that's not big enough. I need a bigger eraser because all my mistakes, all my sins, all everything going on in my life, Lord, I need that jumbo eraser for my big mistakes. And so sometimes we think because our problems are big or because our mistakes are big, like that's a problem for God. And we relegate everything to someday. Someday my prince will come. Someday I'll get my prayer answered. Someday I'll be happy. I believe God and someday. And we just keep pushing everything out to someday. And that's one of the greatest tricks of the enemy because the gospel is not a someday gospel. Did you know that? The gospel is either now or it's never. I'm not saying that something big isn't coming. I'm not saying that God, like, you know, I'm, for whatever reason, I'm believing within the next 2 weeks something big is going to happen for the Maxwells. I'm not saying, but we're believing now, right? Jesus is coming. Whether we believe it or not, Jesus is coming. That's going to happen someday. But all the things that God did for us in salvation, they belong to us right now. Do you know God's not waiting for you to get better? If your righteousness could get you anything with God, okay, number one, you'd already got it because you've already been righteous enough. Number two, how many know you're never going to be good enough? How many get nagged about stuff in your life like all the time? This things bother you about your life. Am I the only one? I do, like, Lord, I missed that opportunity. Whoop, God, I missed that. Whoop, Lord, I do, you know. And if I was waiting for me to be perfect, I wouldn't get a thing from God. And if God, in Romans 10, which I'm going to go into, God says that if righteousness could come by works or righteousness could come by the law, God would have stuck with that system. In other words, if you could earn a miracle, feed enough kids, clothe enough naked people. Pray enough. How much is enough anyway? I talked about a couple weeks ago. You reading your Bible? Not enough. What's enough? Become a monk in Tibet and go read your Bible for 24 hours a day? You probably did. You'd probably read your Bible 23 hours a day, and I'd come up to you and say, you reading your Bible? You're not enough. I still got that 1 hour. Right? That's how our minds are. You praying? Not enough. You witnessing? Not enough. Did you do it at all? I'm not preaching condemnation, guys, today. No way. I'm going to preach the opposite. The Word says that if we could have earned this thing by being good, God would have just stuck with the old system. Do you know, in any gospel church, even if they get off here and there, any gospel church is going to tell you, you get saved by grace through faith. They get that. They may deviate immediately and they say, well, now you got saved. You got to get circumcised. You got to get baptized. You got to do this. You got to do that. You know, they may tell you everything else, but any gospel preaching church, you got to wear your hair in a bun 5 miles high, prove you're saved, look like that, what was that one TV show, Third Rock from Sun or something, you know, to prove you're saved. No, we do not get saved, nor do we get miracles from God. The Lord did miracles today, not because Brad Kittle's good or because you deserved it. If you think you deserve it, you won't get it. That's how righteousness is too. And we're going to talk about this today. And the enemy's whole game is to try to get you to think that you got to earn it or get good enough. You'll never be good enough, and you'll never earn it. And so you'll be that carrot in front of the stick. You'll be chasing it your whole life, trying to get good enough. Now, does that mean God wants you to live in sin, so His grace abounds and all that, and do whatever you want? No, of course not. We're going to talk about that too. Of course not. But the way to righteousness is by faith. And so we don't relegate things to someday. When Jesus said at the cross, "It is finished," either it was done or it wasn't. Right? Either it was done or... Did Jesus leave anything undone? No. All that's left is the shouting. Jesus is going to come back and our total salvation. I'm not going to have to pray for backs anymore, or femurs, or legs, or whatever happens. You're going to get a new body. You wait till you see me with hair. Woo! You're going to say, "Brad, I didn't know you were so handsome." Yeah, of course. Yeah, Charlie too. Oh, isn't that going to blow us away when Charlie grows hair? That's Charlie? Nah, Charlie will shave it just so we'll recognize him in heaven. Amen? We're going to get those new bodies and all. I mean, I know that's coming. I know we still live in a world that's fallen. But do you know in chapter 8 of Romans that Paul said it this way? He said, "The creature or creation is waiting to experience the liberty that you already have." Did you know that was in there? Did you know that was in there? The glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, we already have the glorious liberty, and one day creation is going to get in on it. Did you know you're already free? You are. Brad, what demon do I have? Well, if you believe the gospel, you don't have any. Amen? Charlie taught last week, and he talked about where's the power of God. Folks, the power of God is in the gospel. If I didn't believe the gospel, I wouldn't be up here praying for people. If I thought I had to do, I can't fix anybody. I can't fix you spiritually. I can't fix you physically. And I can't, you guys, the way you live, half of you drive me crazy. You guys drive me crazy the way you live. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, oh Lord. You know, I love it. I love it. I love people when you got problems. I don't love your problems, but I love the fact that we're not all in here with halos on. I do. You guys are so real. It is scary sometimes. You're doing what? What happened? They did what? Are you kidding me? I didn't, I thought you got saved. Well, I did, but I'm struggling. Okay, God loves you and I love you. I'd like to have a whole church full of people that barely know what who Jesus is, because then you don't have to unteach them from religion. And they come in with halos on and you're perfect and everything's, you know, you're so good. You scare people because they're like, I remember when John Scouten was preaching and I was called to be a preacher, but I was living in sin. I was living in sin. You ain't got nothing on me. I might not have been as rough and tumble, but I was a sneaky sinner. You know what I mean? You're like overt sinner when you were sinning. You were out there. I was hiding everything. I was doing the same things you were doing, but I had my halo on. I was hiding it all. Amen? Doing bad. And I remember when I give my life back to the Lord, thinking, man, I could never do that again. I've really blown it, Jesus. I was in VGF thinking that. I've blown it so bad, I could never preach again. I'll just sit in this pew and hang on and get to heaven one day and kind of eke my way. And maybe if I tithe enough, someone will, you know, be nice to me. I don't know, if I just do something. And you know what? John Scouten told his testimony about what a sinner he was and all the things he did. And when I was hearing him talk about all the things he did, my jaw dropped down to the floor. Like, and you're up there preaching? You did all that? And something dawned on me. And he was a good preacher. He is a good preacher. I'm like, you did all that, God forgave you, and you're preaching? I thought, wow, if he forgave you, then what? He could forgive me. Maybe, just maybe, I could preach. Maybe God would let me do what I was called to do my whole life. Maybe, just maybe. And I went down to the altar and I gave my life to the Lord because I realized if God could use him, then he could use me. I was lost. Now, I didn't put it all together in a day, but I tell you, the Lord did fill me with his Spirit. And just, you know what? It was almost like, and I've talked about this before, but not everybody's heard it. It was just almost like here I was following God, right? And all of a sudden, I just took a hard left and I went this way. And I was going away from God, a hard left. And then I prayed and I gave my life back to God. He cleaned me out. And all at once, it was just like supernaturally, I was transported right back to here. And God wasn't saying, Brad, okay, you be good for a year and then I can use you. You clean up your act. You be good. You prove you're good. No, just right away, Pam looked at me and said, I got my Brad back. I got the old Brad. I just started doing the things I was doing when I took the step off, and it seemed like God didn't mind. And I just started following God again. Someone say amen.
Amen.
God just forgave me. Now, the people in the church might, well, you need to sit down. For God didn't tell me to sit down. I started doing outreach. I started talking about Jesus on a dime because I did not earn it. It wasn't my righteousness to begin with. And God is so much better than people are. If you are saved today and you're praying to God, he is not answering your prayers because of your righteousness. He's answering your prayers because of faith. I get prayers answered all the time. Because I'm a good boy? No, because, and I'm going to talk about this process, and honestly, folks, this is actually how holiness comes. Holiness isn't you. This is the law. Okay, you got saved. Okay, so now you start tithing. I believe in tithing. Start tithing. Start praying for the sick, or you start going to church three times a week, and I hope you do come to church three times a week. You read a chapter a day. You know, keep the devil away. You change this, maybe change your diet. And all of a sudden, you're building all these things. And what happened in the book of Galatians with that church, they started substituting their performance with Jesus' righteousness. And then you get back into legalism. And if you are despairing in your own performance, you're discouraged, frustrated, and you're not producing any fruit. I don't mean because people are opposing the gospel. You do sometimes hit satanic walls, and it can be a battle. But in your ability to follow God, if you're frustrated, depressed, disappointed, you're not believing the gospel. Because the gospel is the too good to believe news that through what Jesus did, God accepts you as a son. And there's power in it to change your life. I'm going to read this. Let's go ahead and read it so I can be done with it, okay? Romans chapter 10, because I'm talking about it now. I'm laying this out. Romans chapter 10. Paul the apostle is talking to the church about the Jewish people and about two systems of righteousness. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, the Jews, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal or an enthusiasm for God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, you ought to say that, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. There it is, bingo. Going about. Do you know that's when I'm self-righteous, and when we are self-righteous, do you know that's why? Because you're going about to establish your own righteousness, and so you think you're doing good, and so you start measuring yourself against other people. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm doing this, and I'm witnessing, and I'm doing that, and they're not, and I'm pretty good. You're establishing your own righteousness, and it'll frustrate you, and we become self-righteous when we do that, and you don't bear fruit. No one wants to be around you. especially sinners, to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that... Are you a believer this morning? To everyone that believeth. We're going to talk about this. This is powerful. For Moses described the righteousness which is based on the law. That's works, people. That the man which does these things shall find life through them. But the righteousness which is by faith talks like this. Don't say in your heart, who will go up into heaven? That's to bring Christ, that's Jesus, down. Or who will go into hell or the deep? And that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does the righteousness from above say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith which Paul preached. Paul preached the word of faith. Did you know that? He didn't preach law. He preached faith. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want you to get this, okay? He's saying, when you're praying and you're believing God, you're not saying, man, if I could just get Jesus to come down here and answer my prayer. Man, if Jesus would just be here, if I could just pull Jesus down from heaven, the Christ, that's the answer. Or maybe if I could raise him up from the dead, everything would be okay. He said, that's not the word of faith. The word of faith believes that Jesus is Lord right now. Without my works, without my efforts, without anything I'm doing, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. You are my financial provider. You are my healer. You're my forgiver. When I die, I'm going to heaven because you're my righteousness. Hallelujah. I don't have to pull you down. I'm just saying what's true. Man, if you start talking right, I love that. So get a grip on your lip. Amen. Get a grip on your lip. Jesus says, with the words that you, Jesus, Matthew 6 said, the words that you use will judge you on judgment day. By your own words, you'll be condemned. And by your own words, you'll be justified. So I like going around saying, Jesus, you are my Lord. You're my money provider. I shall not lack. I trust you. You're my provider. You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You provide me with relationships. And this is my most recent. Jesus, you are my joy. This church is growing and it's going to grow. But if it whittled down to one person, I pray that me and Pam are, I'm preaching to Pam. Although I do that anyway. Poor Pam. Pray for Pam. Please pray for Pam. I feel sorry for her. I want to stand here. My joy is not based upon or should never be based upon what's going on around me. Paul, and I preach it all the time, I'll preach it again. You don't remember the next week anyway, right? Remember that? Paul was in jail praising God in a pit. Obviously, he said, everybody's turned against me. I don't have a friend left. Demas forsook me. The churches are turning on me. Felt like he didn't have, send me a cloak because I left my cloak. Please send my cloak to me. Everyone's turned against me. But he says, but the Lord stood with me. One man and Jesus are a majority. If we can so focus on the Lord that say, Jesus, you're my joy, and it's not people. If people become your joy, they're going to disappoint you sorely. If what you think you're producing in life is your joy, it will disappoint you. Money is fun and it's good and I like to have it, but it is a pitiful Lord. It is a rude taskmaster. It won't give you a minute's peace. Female and male affection, romance, it's great to be in love, ain't it, baby? It is. It's great to be in love. But if male-female relationships are your God and you think you're not going to be happy until you meet the right person, how many married people can say, that ain't true? Sometimes your problems just begin. We've all been down, well, not everybody, but some of us have been down that road. Your problems just began. You thought the answer came. You thought that guy with the halo, that halo fell off and there were two horns there? Now, who did I marry? He was so sweet when I married him. Now he's got smoke coming out of his nostrils. Where was that guy when I was dating? Oh my goodness. That is a pitiful Lord. When God brings you together with somebody, it is the most beautiful relationship. And we learn to walk in love and we grow together. It's a beautiful thing. That comes when you make Jesus Lord. But if it's your master, romance is your master, you're going to be one depressed human being. Because people cannot do what God can do for you. We don't say, Jesus, come down from heaven. We don't say, Jesus, come up. He already did it. That's the point, isn't it? He's already victorious. He already rose from the dead. He already conquered Satan. There should not be a person in here that says, do I have a demon? Jesus wiped the demons out a long time ago. If you got one, tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. I don't want you. You got soul ties. People talk about soul ties. Just put the cross on them. My emotions do not belong to the devil. My emotions belong to me, and Jesus is Lord of my emotions. I'm guarding my heart. I'm not letting emotions in my life that'll drive me. I'm going to drive them. My heart belongs to me, and I gave it to Jesus, and he's not going to rule me anymore. How about you? You try to get in my emotions, I'm going to stomp on you. I'm not falling in love with anybody else. I'm not looking for anybody else. I'm not getting depressed if everything isn't going perfectly. Jesus is Lord of my heart. Now, I'm not saying I've arrived at this, but that's the goal. That's where I'm marching to, and I'm determined to get there. How about you? I know, guys, stuff you're going through. I know you guys. This is the way. What's that show? The Mandalorian. This is the way. If you haven't watched The Mandalorian, I liked it. If it's wrong, tell me. Some church person will tell me I shouldn't watch it somewhere. Oh, two great things. I'll get back. Two great things on The Mandalorian. Number one, Fred, this is good. This is the way. I love that. I tell Pam that. I said, Pam, we're going to go to the store. Well, we want to do this. Pam, this is the way. Hey, and the other one's even better, right? The other guy, I love that character. He's dead. What did they kill him for? He was such a cool character. Anyway, this is the other one. He used to say this. He'd be arguing with somebody, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, Linda, just pretend it's Ken talking here, right? You'll like this. All of a sudden out of nowhere, he goes, I have spoken. And that was it. Like, I have spoken. Nothing's, that's it. Mike, do that with Jackie. See how it works. Jackie, I have spoken. I have spoken. I love it. But there's great truth in both of those things. Did you know that? I have spoken. Man, when you believe the word of God, that's what Jesus did when the devil came. See, the devil, this is part of my message. I'm ahead of where I'm supposed to be. But when Jesus came to the devil, he kept saying, hey, you're saved. Prove it. Go jump off a building. Brad says he witnesses. Why don't you do it? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Bonky raises the dead. Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? You say, devil, come on. Wait, what are you talking? Say, get behind me. Say, I ain't proving anything. Jesus saved me. I'm not working for this thing. I'm not earning this thing. I'm not doing anything you tell me to do. I have spoken. Jesus said, I am the Son of God, and nothing you say is going to change it. I'm not proving it. I'm not going to try to prove it. I am the Son of God. Why? Because I believe it. Because the Word of God says so. That's what Jesus did. He said, it is written. Satan kept trying to tempt him. Good to see you, Al. What a blessing to see you. Satan kept trying to tempt him and saying, if you're saved, you prove it. Go jump off the bridge. God will save you. He says, listen. He goes, I am the Son of God, and I'm not proving anything to you. People come up, when you're saved, look how you're dressing. Look what, you think you're saved, and I know you did this, and I know you. Just look at him in the eye. Do this. Look him in the eye and say, I have spoken. This is the way. And then walk away from them and put your nose in the air. Amen. Come on. This is the way. And it is the way. This is the way. I got so many scriptures I could give. I love the Word of God. Don't you? If you're not in it, you're cheating yourself. All this stuff comes that I get because I'm in the Word. I love it. I'm not like a special person. I read the Bible. I'm not special. I'm no better than anybody in this room. I do pray and read the Bible. I get smacked around, and the Lord teaches me a few things, and I get lessons from it. Man, Lord, I got whipped on that one. Like, well, learn something from it, Brad. It's always positive if you learn something from it. Guys, here's how it works. Number one, faith is now. Jesus already paid for it. It's not someday. He already rose from the dead. He already came from heaven. He already died and rose again. You got to know what he did at that cross. Do you know your sins have already been wiped out forever? Do you know that? Like, God is not condemning you. When you say there is therefore now no condemnation, if you sin and walk in the flesh, you'll experience condemnation. You'll feel bad. You'll be beat up. John in 1 John says, if our heart doesn't condemn us, we have faith toward God, right? But he says, but God's greater than your heart. It's not God that's condemning you. He's already wiped out. Doesn't the word say, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, he is risen. The implication there is Jesus ain't the one condemning you. There was a woman caught in adultery, and Jesus looked at her and said, I don't condemn you. Don't make your sins the issue. I'm the issue. Ooh, that's good. Ooh. Don't make your sins the issue. I feel this today. Don't make your sins the issue. I am the issue. Am I your Lord? Your sins are not the issue. Jesus is. I don't condemn you. He died for us. Guys, that's settled. And there's more than just forgiveness of sin that have been settled. You get in the book and read these promises and start believing God. It's amazing what God has promised us. And so faith is now because it's a finished commodity. There are some things that are looming in the future. Guys, it works like this. First, we believe the good news. The word says, Lord, who has believed our report? Guys, when you hear the gospel, you mix it with faith. Put your doubt in your doubts. Don't believe your unbelief. Believe what the Word says. And if you're not believing it, get some time in the Word where you put it in your heart, because your heart is an engine for faith. Put that Word inside until you believe it. Pray and mix it up. The Bible says when they heard the Word, they did not mix it with faith. Because when we believe it and accept it, I am the righteousness of God. What? I am. I mean it. I am. What? The Bible says I am because of what Jesus did for me. Jesus is standing up in me right now, inside of me. He lives in me. Why? Colossians 1:27, Christ in Brad is Brad's hope of glory. It's yours too. I believe it. He's in me. Don't you believe it? Man, if you really believe it, you'll start acting like it. Because what happens when you believe, when you really believe, your perceptions change. That is why I've been preaching on seeing and hearing. Paul was praying, I want your eyes to be open. I want your ears open. I want your heart open so you'll believe what Jesus has done for you. I want you to see. I want your eyes open that you would know the power that's available to the evangelist on Sunday morning. No. The power that's available to you that believe. When you believe it, your heart will change. You believe it and your perceptions change, and then you start walking in the Spirit and you start walking by faith. So when trials come and the enemy smacks you, you don't quit and give up and say, I don't know why everything goes wrong for me. You and the devil are agreeing. You're holding hands, talking together. Out of your own mouth, you'll be justified. Out of your own mouth, you'll be condemned. I don't know why bad things always happen to me. I don't know why people don't like me. And you're the little fire engine that couldn't. When you really believe this gospel and it gets down in your heart, when trials come, doesn't the Bible call it a test? You stand up during the test when your emotions are going haywire and you say, I believe God. It'll be like God told me. I love to do that. I like when my world is swirling around me to stand up and just speak the Word of God in my prayer closet. God, Grace Point is growing. Lord, you are Lord of that church. God, you're involved in this person's life, and you're involved in this person's life. Father, I thank you that you'll never forsake me. Lord, you did this for me, and I believe you, Lord. I believe what you told me. I'm going to stand. I'd like to just get up, and I'd like to speak the word of God against everything that's happening. Do you do that? Do you speak the word in a whisper? It's all true. When we believe, did I get too loud there? You guys all kind of. When we believe, it changes our perception. When your perceptions change, how you see reality, your actions change. You begin to act different. You don't, like Charlie preached on praying for the sick, you don't go out and, you know, like try to believe God and try to pray for people that are sick and then say, God, did I please you? Because I laid hands on three people. Are you happy with me? That's not how it works. You read it, you interact with it, you mix it with faith, and you believe God. Then when you see somebody or the Lord speaks to you, it may make you nervous, but you're doing it because you believe. Your motive is no longer to try to prove something to the devil or prove something to God. You are now acting in faith because you've mixed the Word of God with faith, and you're stepping out and you're obeying God. Doesn't the Word talk about the obedience of faith? It's not the obedience of law. When you believe it, you receive it, your perceptions change, and all of a sudden how you see reality changes. Why do some people experience more of it than others? Because they're believing it, they're receiving it, your perceptions are changing, and then your reality changes too. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. That means everything real. I'm not talking about some Gnostic New Age nonsense. I'm talking about when Jesus comes in, the blueprint for your life is in there right then. His plan and his purposes. That's why the word says Christ is in you. He is the wisdom of God. He's in your spirit. He's the wisdom of God. He's the well that you pull from. When you pray, you're pulling from that well. And if you pray in the spirit, you got a double blessing because you're really pulling from that well. That salvation is in you. It's a well of salvation welling up in you to eternal life. It's all in you. And when you see it, perception, I want you guys to get this. Your perceptions change, your actions change, you start living by faith. I can give you examples from our elders. Ken had a safe job, making good money, taking whatever master cleaners, whatever they are. He had a good job, and all of a sudden he gets this idea. It was not his first idea. He had an idea that didn't work out the way that he thought it should. All of a sudden he gets a second idea. And what Ken's told me is like this job he has now, it's God's business. He had this idea, same with you, Jackie. He had this idea that God was speaking to him. And even though he had experienced some setbacks before, he was going to believe God. He was going to step out in this business and go for it. And because he believed it was God, it changed his perception, and his perception changed his actions. He began to step out, learning more, stretching out here. And now your other job is where? Done. And what are you doing now?
I'm running my business.
Running his business.
I'm running the Lord's business.
He's running the Lord's business, and he's doing well. He heard from God. Jeff Houck was fretting and moaning and groaning about retiring, and should he? God was telling him to retire. And Jeff was arguing with God. Is that a surprise? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Jeff was arguing, it was just obvious. God's telling him to do it. And he's logical mind. He's trying to line up all the answers, how everything's going to work out. You know how I talked to a guy yesterday about the Lord after I got done running. Don't judge me for running. I spent an hour talking to a guy that doesn't believe in God about Jesus after the race. Come on, give me a break. Let me run, okay? Leave me alone. And someone say amen. Leave me alone. I witness all the time when I'm running. So he's arguing, but, you know, the Lord was saying, do it. Jeff, are you making it? You doing okay? Doing wonderful. Aren't you glad you retired? See, you know, but he's struggling with God because God was giving him direction. Charlie wanted to go to Africa. I don't want to talk about it. He'll start crying. I mean it literally. There he goes. There he goes. He wanted to go to Africa. His heart was to go to Africa. And he went to Honduras and he saw a hill with a saddle that God had already showed him, that saddle. And he saw that saddle and the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to Africa. You're going to Honduras. And he went. And that's why he's sitting right there right now. I met him in Honduras. I'd have never met Charlie if he'd been in Africa. Not that that's such a big deal, Charlie, to meet Brad Kittle, but the whole point is, you know that now more than anyone, right? The whole point is, he followed God, he believed, it changed his perception. Changing of the perceptions changes your actions, and that changes your life. That's the process of faith. God will show you something, and he shows you something, you act on it, and it changes your life. Larry, this is the elders. Larry, your whole life is one action and obeying God. Like Larry's whole life, he spent the whole week with you two, didn't he? I went once. Put him on the payroll. Larry knows who he is, and he does good deeds constantly. I went over there once. He went over there 5 or 6 times. You know, I got over every day. That's what he does. He knows he's an elder. He prays for people. He serves people. He is really good at it. He does all that because he's hearing from God, and God gives him a vision for his life. Guys, the basis of all of this is the righteousness of God. When we put our faith in the gospel, not in your works, God says your works are a filthy rag. I believe in holiness. You guys know I do. I believe in living holy. I just don't believe in it the way some people teach it. Like you try real hard, you be good, then God blesses you. I believe in it. You love God with all your heart. You put God first. God, you're first in my life. I love you the most. I don't hell or high water. I'm going to serve you. Put God first. That when you do that and you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit pours into you, and then you start loving people and your perceptions change. You start reading the Word because you and God are walking together, not based on works, because you love God. You're putting Him first. All of a sudden, like I'm saying, things start changing. And Paul says, this is Colossians chapter 1, when you believed the gospel, the fruits of righteousness manifested in your life. If you're not manifesting the gospel, either you don't believe it or you're trying to mix something in there that's not from God. You struggling with sin? Liam said you were. You remember back then? Jesus obliterated sin. He annihilated it. He took care of it. Bible says, whoever the Son sets free, you're really free. I can't go with you if you tell me you can't get out of your sin. I can't go with that. I can't go for that. No can do. Can't go for that. That's what Jesus is like, oh, I can't go for that. No can do. I took care of your sin at the cross. I am not going to agree with you that you cannot give up your sin. No can do. And I won't agree with you. You can cry, and I love you. I'm not going to be mad at you. I ain't. I love you. I'm not going to be, you know, I'll walk with you all the way. I'll walk with you all the way. And I won't judge you. It's not my job to judge you. But Jesus is like, no can do. Because he took care of your sin problem. He wiped it out at the cross. Well, Brad, when will I experience it? When you believe it. You don't earn it. When you believe it, the power is released. It'll change your perception. It'll set you free. That's why Paul said things like, reckon this to be so. Reckon yourselves. That means consider yourselves dead to sin. Well, I got so much temptation. Okay, I know that. Consider yourself dead to sin. When you do, it'll get in your heart. It'll change your perceptions. It'll change your actions, and you'll be free. The gospel is, I got problems here in my life. I've got problems with unforgiveness. I have problems. The gospel is the power of God unto your deliverance and safety. Jesus took care of your unforgiveness. He took care of your sin. If you can believe it, he healed your body in there. He provided every need that you need. He provided it at the cross. You need a job, it's in there. You need a house, it's in there. He provided for it. Sometimes there's a wait period. You're not waiting to believe. You're waiting for what? The answer. You when you pray, you believe, you receive it. That's when you have it. The waiting can be on the manifestation of it, but you receive it when you believe. Amen? Amen. And God's grace is so abundant. His grace is so abundant. This salvation is all given by grace. And the reason I'm hammering it is because you can't mix grace and works. I work all the time. I love it. I have a ball. I was out talking to my neighbor last night because I love Jesus and I want to talk to my neighbor. I had a ball. I like the guy. I'm enjoying it. Why? Because I got something good to share with people. I really believe this thing. I made up with it. I made up with Jesus. I love Jesus. Examine me. Examine my life. I don't care. I don't believe in sin. Sin's going to make me miserable. I'm ending. Sin makes people miserable. I see young girls that are engaged in physical sexual activity with boys. They're always depressed. Always. Always. Got so many problems. And their life's out. And am I judging them? No. I want to help them. Don't do it. You depress your life. You're not supposed to be 16, 15 having sex with boys. It's horrible. You get depressed. Mom and dad, don't let your kids do it. They'll get depressed. And anybody that's over 25 will tell you it's true. It's not because you're being a goody two-shoes or some holy thing. It'll depress your kids. It'll get them off track. They're young. They're supposed to be enjoying life and planning for their future. And they get involved with the guy, and they're in a sexual relationship. This is for some parents out there. They become miserable. Don't let them. Pull them off of it. You're the mom and dad. You're not doing it. That was for somebody. Sin makes us miserable. And that's why we don't sin. It's ungodly. It's nasty. Jesus sets you free at the cross from it. You don't have to walk another day in it. Every head closed, every eye bowed. If you're not right with God, and you know now it's grace through faith, you can't earn it. You want to be right with God. You're not going to rely on yourself. You're relying on what Jesus did on the cross. You have faith to believe it today. You heard me, and you want to give your life to Jesus. Raise your hand. I see a hand, two hands. You come up again. Come, you come up when I pray. I see your hand. One, two, three, four. There's another. Come on. There's another. There it is. Boom. I think that's it. Come forward right now. Guys, come up and sing that second song, I think. We're going to pray. And then, guys, I'm not going to hold you up here all day. When you believe it and you pray, you receive your salvation. Someone shout out there. Five people are going to turn their lives around today. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Come on. And you know what? Come on up, girls. Come on up. You raise your hand. Come on up. Do you know what? Come on up, sister. God's going to set you free from stuff that's been hounding you. The power is in the gospel. The power is in what Jesus did. And when they pray and they receive Jesus' righteousness, they're just as righteous as you are. Some of them more so because you gave up on God's righteousness a while back and you're trying to earn it. They're more. If they're trusting Jesus, when they pray, they are your brother or sis. They're your sisters in the Lord. Isn't there a guy out there that wants to get saved? Isn't there somebody that wants to get saved? A man out there that wants to step up and get... Why is it always the women that are stepping up? Come on up, Jody. It's another woman, but I'll take it. Let's get rid of the sin, okay? Stand right there. I want an elder on her to pray for her liver. Charlie, pray for her liver. I wanted to pray for you anyway. Isn't there somebody else that wants to give their life to Jesus today? You can't earn it. You're never going to be in a better position than today. Don't say someday, Brad. Hell is populated with people that said someday. Hell is full of people that said, one day I'll get saved. One day I'll give my life to the Lord. Get up there, Leroy, and God's going to clean you out today for those things that are condemning you. Hell is full of people that said, one day, next week, maybe tomorrow, I'll give my life to Jesus. It is, and this thing is real. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to give your life to Jesus? Don't you want to stop sinning and serve God? If that's you, get up here right now. Not someday, today. Someone say, not someday. Someone say, not someday, today. Come on, get up here. Today, today. Anybody else? I'm happy. I feel like grabbing some of you and pulling you up here, but I won't. Church, this is why we're here.